I'm excited what God is doing, what he already has done. What an amazing worship time we had. Amen. The presence of God is in this place. It is in this place. Whatever you need, whatever you're believing God for, take it right now. Here in the atmosphere, God's presence is here. Amen. Honored to be here. I'm excited what God is going to do today. Today is your day. Today is your day. I'm expecting big things. Whatever you're believing God for, I want to say to you, today is your day. Today is your day. I'm not just saying that just to say it, but I believe it. Today is your day. Today is your day. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Destiny, you want to come up here? Hallelujah, you guys. This is my wonderful wife, Destiny. She is my destiny. Amen. Do you want to sing a song? That song? Yeah. Okay. I want her to play this song. And you know, here I know your pastors, and I want to give honor where honor is due to Pastor Dieter and Diana Tripke. Without them, literally, I wouldn't be here. I know that, and I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for your mentorship, your friendship. And I was friends with your pastors before I even thought about doing ministry. So when I'm with them, I feel like I'm at family. I'm so glad we started this Canada tour here. And I feel like in this house, I feel like I'm with family, and there's such a peace. And I really appreciate your pastors. You know, we got to get behind our pastors, support them. Not just say, oh, I got my pastor's back, or I got this, but no, let's have his heart. Whatever they're believing God for, we take it, we run with it. We don't just show up just to show up. But whatever we can do for our pastors, we will do it. Amen. So I live in Southern California. I grew up in Branson, Missouri, traveled with my grandmother. I'm going to share more about that a little bit. But we're here in Southern California, it's a lot different. It's very different. The people you see, you know, the things that you encounter on a daily basis, walking the streets. You see guys that look very demonic. It's very different. So Destiny and I, one Sunday morning, we said, hey, let's go to this church Sunday morning. So we got up and went to this church, downtown LA, in the club. The night before, they're partying. The night before, probably drugs are being used in that place. And here they are, Sunday morning. The team gets there at 6 in the morning. They start setting up. And I go in there, and to be honest with you, my first impressions were, man, these guys are different. This is really different, you know. But we go in there, and I've been brought up in a Word of Faith family church, going to these services, and I have never encountered a service like this. And I'm standing there, I'm like, what am I doing here? The lights are all dark. But then the worship team goes up there. They start singing. And they start singing this song Destiny's going to sing. And the words are these. Oh, Holy Spirit, burn like a fire in me. Oh, Holy Spirit, burn like a fire in me. And I just had this sudden realization. My God, this is revival. My God, this is a move of God. People are praying, oh, revival, revival this. But let me tell you, God is already moving. I saw it firsthand, downtown LA, probably 400 or 500 kids, young adults, saying, oh, Holy Spirit, burn like a fire in me. The devil's a liar. You might watch the news and say, oh, wow, what's going on in our world? I've been praying. I've been on my knees. I don't see the results. I want to say the devil is a liar. Maybe something you're believing God for, a miracle in your life, a breakthrough in your life, and you might feel like it's not here. I want to say the devil is a liar. God is moving. He is on the scene. If God be for us, who could be against us? He's our Father. So my wife, Destiny, she goes with me everywhere I go. And she plays and she worships God. She's a worshiper. She's a musician. She preaches. She does fashion. God's really anointed her. And I want her to sing those songs out, those words out. Oh, Holy Spirit, burn like a fire in me. Hallelujah. Just put your eyes on Him. Oh, This church service this morning, Father God. Oh, Holy Spirit, burn like a fire in all of us. This is your service. Do what you want to do. Say what you want to say. Move the way you want to move. We give you all the glory, all the praise. This is holy ground. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I speak that there is freedom. There is liberty. We thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for everyone here at the sound of my voice. God, that they be touched, Father God, in a supernatural way today. That they will never be the same again in Jesus' mighty name. They will never be the same again in Jesus' name. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. I thank you, Lord, for Victory Life Church, Lord. What you're doing here, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Destiny. Didn't you do a great job? Amen, yes. I have some friends here, and they drove up last night from Washington State just for this service. After the service, they're leaving. Brother Allen, would you stand, and your mom? They're from a church that we spoke at. They're a part of the church there in South Bend, Washington. They came here just for this morning. Amen. They're partners with us. We went to their church in September. They got us in their church, and we had such a move of God in that place. Their town, South Bend, Washington, he was telling me about it, and this town is right on the river there. It's right on the water, and it was a lumberjack type of town, right? Yeah, the guys, they were all in the lumber industry, tough guys, you know, that's what they did. Well, all the environmentalists, they came in, they said, you know what, you can't do this, so they put all these sanctions and all that. And, you know, then the marijuana industry moved into their town. It's legal there. They have all these plants there. So the people there, they really need a touch from God. A word of encouragement, come on. When you need money, when you want to provide for your family and the industry that you're used to doing, it's not there, what do you do? What do you turn to? They might not have agree with something, but, you know, they have to provide for their family. So we go there, and we had such a move of God. The first night, you know, I was preaching. I was talking about the name of Jesus. I'm going to talk about that this morning. But there's this lady. I had a they come up to the front, whatever you're believing God for. And I prayed for this lady, and she had only one eye open. And I said, what are you believing God for? I kind of already knew, you know, her one eye was closed. But she said, I've had two brain aneurysms, and the results of that, my one eye is completely shut. So I prayed. I used the name of Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name, Father God, right now. You touch her. Heal her. Come on, we believe in a God of miracles. He's the same yesterday as he is today. Come on. Yesterday, today, and forever. I prayed for her. Started going down the altar line, and then she starts screaming, ah, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. God healed her eye right there. That's our God. Eye was completely open. Hallelujah. What are you believing for this morning? What are you expecting? We got to have a heart of expectation. What are you expecting? Blind Bartimaeus on the side of the road, he heard about Jesus. He can't see Jesus, he's blind, but he heard about him. What did he hear about Jesus? He's a God of love. He's a God of compassion. He's a miracle-working God. People that need things, they come up to this guy named Jesus, and they're healed and delivered. So he hears about him. What did he do? Did he go, oh, poor me, I wish I could be like everybody else following Jesus, but I can't. I feel so sorry for myself. I'm just going to sit here and just wish I could go follow him. Me, I'm blind, you know, no one can take me. No, what did he do? He heard about Jesus. He didn't know where he was at, but he said, oh, Jesus is coming. He cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. People around him saying, hey, be quiet. Be quiet. But he didn't care. He didn't care what the person next to him said. When you get hungry for God, when you're believing God, when you're expecting for your miracle, you don't care what people say or what they think or their opinions. You know in your heart. Blind Bartimaeus knew what Jesus would do for him. He cried out again, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus commanded him to be called. He stopped and said, who called for me? Bring him. He took that robe, his label, I like to call that, and he cast it away. That label, that signified that he was blind. Kind of like today, if you see someone with a cane, you don't want to just run up to them and honk the horn. That shows you something. Hey, they have a disability, they can't see. Blind Bartimaeus took that robe off. He shed it and he came to see Jesus. He didn't tie it around his waist, saying, just in case if it doesn't happen. Just in case, maybe I'm just real excited, you know. Maybe it's not for me. No, he cast it away. He said, label, you serve me, great, but today's your last day. I don't need you anymore. I'm about to have an encounter. I'm about to look into the eyes of Jesus. He's going to heal me. I know it. I can't see, but when I see him, I'll see. That's faith. He reached out. Jesus said, your faith has made thee whole. Your faith, Blind Bartimaeus, your faith of crying out when people said, hey, be quiet. Your faith of getting up and casting away that label, that garment that signified that you were blind and coming to see me. That faith, your faith has made thee whole. We got to have faith in God. We got to believe in the supernatural. We got to believe in the presence and in the fire of God. That's what's going to change community. The presence of God. The fire of God. Not just a great worship set and all the cool lights and all that and a 15-minute or 20-minute message and inspiration. You're great. That's all great. No, we need the presence of God. We need the fire of God. We need to recognize the anointing of God. We got to put a demand on it. We got to come into church believing God's going to touch me. We got to come with something, not just trying to always get something, but we come knowing who we are. That's what's going to change the community in Kelowna. I know in my heart, Kelowna, BC is being changed even right now by the presence of God, by the power, and by the fire of God. And you don't have to be weird. I like that. You don't have to, when someone asks you, hey, how are you doing? You don't have to respond back in Bible answers. I'm blessed. I mean, you can say that, but you don't have to be weird. Just be who you are. You can be so on fire for God in the grocery store just looking around, looking for steaks or something. And a guy gets by you, and he's like, what is going on? Why? Because people are dry spiritually around us. People are so far away from God. They're so cold from God. But when they get by us, I believe a spark can come and ignite them back on fire for God. It's amazing. This is our heart. This is my heart. The presence of God. The fire of God. Not just talking about it. Not just talking about the days of old, but putting a demand on it now. A move of God. We need it. The supernatural draws people. People are searching for a miracle-working God. God has really put men in my life that work in this area. And it's just been amazing to see. Just recently, we were in a meeting, and his name is John Kilpatrick. And he is the pastor of the Brownsville Revival. Over 5 million people came through his church in a couple of years. miracles, signs, and wonders every night. People came from all around the world just from a touch from God. I got this son on the front row. He came and prayed for me. He said, "Son, your heart is for this. You're going to be a carrier of it. You're going to be a carrier of it." And he said, "Son, feel this." And I could feel the glory of God so on him. That's the people I want to surround myself with. One time we were at another meeting and with my family, and this man, he walks in that. He walks in the supernatural, what we need, the fire of God, the power, the presence of God. I told my mom, I said, "Mother, I feel like I'm supposed to somehow be connected with him." She said, "Well, son, just trust God." You know, I'm not like that. I really sensed it. So one night after the service, he got done preaching and he's about to start going out. And he said, "Brandon, stand up." So I stood up and he said, "Walk with me." So I walked with him the whole service. And he says, "You're going to pass this on to your generations." And he would have word of knowledge for people. And I would lay my hands on people. And he would tell me what to do. And I was like, that was so cool. The Lord put that in my heart. And here I am walking with him. Amen. We serve a supernatural God. In October, I was at a meeting and I was preaching, and after it was over, a man came up to me. He walks in that. You know, he has a great, great big ministry. He said, "Brandon, the Lord spoke to me and told me to come support you today with my time, with my finances, because I called you to the called Brandon to the nations." I was like, "I receive it, but I don't have any nations lined up. I mean, no one's calling and asking for Brandon to come." But here I am, first of the year, January, I'm in Canada. That's our God. And I've been expecting big things this morning. I had a notebook, I wrote down this service exactly for the last month. I've been praying over it, and I'm expecting God to move mightily. What are you expecting? What's your expectation? Hallelujah. Are you expecting this morning? Are you expecting this morning? Destiny and I, we went on a vacation, and we went on a cruise, just a weekend cruise. And I'd never been on one before. So, you know, living in California, it's really easy to go, you know, just 45 minutes to the port, and you can go. So we go, and, you know, the whole process is you have to go through this big room, and then they sign you in and whatnot. So we're in this room. We're not even on the boat. This room is big. It's not the prettiest room. But I told Destiny, I said, "It feels like vacation in here." And I heard the voice of the Lord speak through my heart. He said, "Brandon, that's how I want my services to be. Not like vacation, but an expectation." They weren't on the boat yet. They were just in a room, but they knew they were about to get on the boat. Whatever you believe in God for, know today's your day. They had that expectation. Probably at their office, they had their calendar. "This day, I'm going on a cruise. This day, I'm going on a cruise." They were expecting it. They were believing it. And we're just in this holding room, and it felt like vacation in there. The very atmosphere was charged with vacation. That's how we need our services to be. Not just coming here just to sit here and saying, "That's great. When am I going to go eat? Come on, when am I going to go to Perkins, you know? Come on." No, we got to have an expectation. We got to know God is for us. Whatever we believe in God for, today is our day. Hallelujah. Today I want to preach on the power in the name of Jesus. The power in the name of Jesus. I traveled with my grandmother, Billy Brim, for 3 years. Then the Lord spoke to me, "I want you to move to California." I went out there and I thought, "My God, this is going to be a breakthrough of ministry. Did you see what I was doing, Lord? Traveling with my grandmother, doing my thing. This is awesome. California, maybe a bunch of meetings. No telling what's going to happen." But for that first year, I served. Helped Destiny's family's ministry out. I wasn't pretty ministry, okay? I'm in a little place. I said, "God, after a year, God, I know you called me to be a minister, but I don't have a message to preach. Even if I did have a message, I don't like to talk in front of people." He said, "Son, I'll give you the message. I'll preach it through you." So he did. Then meetings started happening. I started preaching about Jesus. So I want to share a little about this morning. It really burns in my heart. The name of Jesus. The power in the name. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Hallelujah. Are you guys excited this morning? I'm not going to preach too long, just a couple hours or so. I'm just joking. The power in the name of Jesus. Revivals in that name. Breakthroughs are in the name of Jesus. We have that name. I'm so glad we have that name. He is that name. The name and the person are one. He's that name. You say Jesus, you're bringing him on the situation. So Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, which is 3 o'clock. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter into the temple. So we see here a certain man. He's been lame from his mother's womb. He's been crippled his whole life. His daily routine is say, hey, you know what? We're going to take you. We're going to set you down at the temple, and you're going to beg. Not just crippled, but he's broke. And you might not like what you're doing right now, or the season you're in, or the job you work at. Talk about being on the lowest end of society. This is where that man was. Daily routine. You lay there, you look helpless, and you beg. That's where he was at. Growing up, seeing all the other kids running and playing, you can't do that. High school comes around, you know you can't play at Jerusalem High School basketball. No, he's crippled his whole life. That's what he's known his whole entire life. Begging. Verse 3, he was seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple. He asked an alms, so he begged unto them. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Look on us. I want to say this. Maybe a situation in your life, or maybe something that's coming against you. Don't look at the situation. Look to Jesus. Put your eyes on him, no matter what. In our daily life, every day, we got to put our eyes on one person and one person only. We have to put our eyes on Jesus. He has to be first place in our life. We can't be trying it. We got to do it. Put your eyes on him no matter what. So he said, look on us. Verse 5, and he, that's the man, gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. He needed something. He was expecting something. You might say, Brandon, yeah, he's expecting some money. Either way, he's still expecting. What are you expecting? He was expecting to receive something of them. What you expect is what you get. Faith expects. You believe it. What you're believing God for, you believe anytime it's here. I have it right now. Expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He had the name of Jesus. He had the name that's above every name. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. And that name has been given to us. That name has not been taken away. Just like what Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. He had the name of Jesus. I want to tell you, you have the name that's above every name. You have the name of Jesus. There's power in that name. There's miracles in that name. Financial breakthroughs are in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Churches today can say, you know what, silver and gold, we got that. But that's it. We got to have the power. We got to have the name of Jesus. We got to know what belongs to us. So he says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he... This is the man, crippled his whole life, begging every day, outside of the temple. He never was inside the temple. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple. That temple he's always sitting outside of. Walking and leaping and praising God. The name of Jesus. Now he's walking, he's leaping, and he's giving God the glory. Hallelujah. Walking, leaping, praising God. And all the people saw him. walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that was called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Verse 12, and when Peter saw it, he answered to the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? So it says everyone's wondering. Everyone's all excited. Could you imagine that place? They're going, wow, we've seen that guy crippled his whole life. Now he's not just sitting outside the temple like he always is. Now he's walking through it. He's praising God. What's going on? People are excited. People are saying, what's going on? And what does Peter say? He says this, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Another translation of marvel is, why be surprised about this? And I was just thinking, why didn't Peter marvel? Why wasn't he surprised? Why didn't he make it a big deal? Saying, I want you to read your testimony on this microphone right now. Give God the glory. He's saying, hey, why marvel? Why be surprised? Why didn't Peter marvel? Why wasn't he surprised? Because he expected it. He expected. This is the normal. This is the normal church right here. This is our foundation. We expect it. We expect it when people come in these doors and they're sick to be healed. We're not going to be surprised about it saying, oh, you're healed? No way. That's crazy. No, we expect it. We believe it. We know it. People that can't move their arm when they come in the service, maybe they're in praise and worship, praising God, they start moving it. We expect it. We're not surprised because we believe it. We have a heart of expectation. Hallelujah. He said, why marvel? Why look so earnestly on us? So many people want to look at the person. Oh, if I can just get around that person. If he can lay hands on me. If that preacher can just have a word for me, I need a word. No, you say, hey, why marvel? Why look at us? As though by our own power or holiness, we made this man to walk. Verse 16, they'll tell you what it was. Verse 16, and his name, that's the name of Jesus, the name that belongs to you and I, his name through faith in his name. Oh, we got to have faith in the name of Jesus. We got to know the power in that name. We can't be trying it. We can't just be echoing what we've heard our parents talk about, or we hear people, we got to be a voice. We got to know the power that's in the name of Jesus. And his name through faith in his name, we believe in the name, has made this man strong. That crippled man you've been seeing, this has made him strong. The name whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him, by the man, has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Not feelings, but faith in the name of Jesus. Whatever you're believing God for, put your faith in that name. You don't need me to pray for you right now. Whatever you're believing God for, expect it to happen. Today is your day. It's crossover time. Amen. It's crossover time. This year, 2017, is going to be for you like a year no other. I believe that. It's a crossover time, a shifting. There's not much time left. A shifting, 2017, a year of shifting, a crossover time. This is your time. This is your year. You're here for a reason. God has chosen the best for last. You are here. Paul had his time. David had his time. But you're here. God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. God wants to do something through you. We got to put him first place in our life. Know the power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So chapter 4, verse 3. It says this, and they laid hands on them, and they put them into hold until the next day, for now is evening tide. This is not laying hands on him saying, I appreciate your ministry, Peter and John. What you're doing, man, you have miracles in your ministry. We're going to have to set you up a tour. We're going to have to bring you to Canada and have a Canada tour. No. They laid hands on them. These were not nice hands. They were saying, who do you think you are? Put them into jail. Put their hands, you know, the whole bit. Verse 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. They heard the word. And they believed because they saw the results of the word of God. They saw a miracle take place. And they said, that's the God I want to serve. It's the same today. People are looking for it. People are searching for it. You see all these crazy stuff people are doing. What is it? They're crying out for something. And we've got the answer. They say, that's the God I want to serve. 5,000 gave their lives to God. They heard the word, believed. They heard it and they believed in the word of God. They saw the results and the power in the name of Jesus. That's a move of God. That's a revival. We preach the word of God. Holy Spirit will write it and confirm the word of God, and people will be drawn. Hallelujah. We see here, verse 7 and verse 6, they talk about they had all the high priests all gathered together at Jerusalem. All the guys, all the religious leaders are all in there. Verse 7, and when they set them in the midst, they asked by what power. They want to know what happened here. They want to know, how did this miracle take place? We've seen him crippled his whole entire life. Broke. Now we see a man walking, leaping, and praising God. We want to know what exactly happened. By what power, or by what name have you done this? By what power, or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. He said, listen up. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, to the lame man, by what means he is made whole, he said this, verse 10, be it known unto you, all you priests, all you elders, all you leaders, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus, by that name that belongs to you and I, church, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you've crucified, you thought you got rid of him. Let me tell you, you didn't get rid of him. He's alive today. He's in heaven. He's working through us. You can't silence a message. You thought you silenced him, but you didn't. He's alive today. Hallelujah. He said, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. They were saying, it's not our preaching, it's not our doing, but it's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the reason this man's here before you. That name that belongs to you and I. Let's take that name. Let's believe in that name. We got to know the power in the name of Jesus. Verse 13, it says this, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. So it sees this, they had a boldness about them, but they perceived something. Maybe they didn't have the best education like everybody else. But they perceived that they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. That's what matters right there. People need to take knowledge of you and I, that we have been with Jesus, that Jesus is inside of us. He's our first place. Not just on Sunday mornings and Friday nights, but 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. People need to take knowledge of you and I, that we have been with Jesus. You can have all the education you want, but if people can't take knowledge that you have been with Jesus, that there's something different about you, then it's whatever. But people, that's first place. People need to take knowledge that we have been with Jesus, that we're on fire for God. Hallelujah. They marveled. They took knowledge. They have been with Jesus. And beholding, verse 14, the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Oh, I like that. They were literally speechless. They couldn't say nothing against it. They wanted to, but they couldn't. They could say nothing against it. But when they commanded them to go aside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them, and is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. They couldn't deny it. Let me tell you, the world cannot deny the power in the name of Jesus. They can do whatever they want. They can bash it, make fun of it, thinking that we're wild, but they cannot deny the power in the name of Jesus. There's power in that name. That name belongs to us. Hallelujah. We cannot deny it. Verse 17, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and they commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. They didn't say, hey, don't talk about your testimony or tell that story about that, you know, that illustration you use about the love and all that. No, they didn't say that. They said, don't preach about the name of Jesus. Don't talk about the name of Jesus, because they saw the results in that name and they didn't know how to handle it. They couldn't control it. The same for today. The devil, the enemy, he doesn't want you to speak about the name of Jesus. He doesn't want you to talk about the name of Jesus. He knows the power in that name. Mark chapter 16, in my name you should cast out devils. He knows that. In the name of Jesus, those who believe, not just the preachers or the pastors, but all of us, the believers, in my name, you use my name, son. You use my name, daughter. I'll be there. I'll take care of you. I'll deliver you. I'm with you. You need a breakthrough in your life. Use my name. I'll be there. I'll provide for you. Amen. The enemy knows the power in the name of Jesus. There's power in that name. I could go on and on. Acts chapter 8. You know, Philip went down to the Sea of Samaria. He preached Christ unto them. The whole place tied up in witchcraft, sorcery. That's not a very welcoming place to preach at. They thought another guy was a man of God. But then it says Simon himself believed. He said, that's the true power. That's the true God. I want to serve him. That's an awakening. That's a revival. The whole city of Samaria preaching Christ, healing the sick, casting out devils in that name. Hallelujah. John chapter 14. We're almost done, guys. John chapter 14. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 11. It says this, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Do we believe on him, guys? Do we believe on him here in Kelowna? He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater. Greater works than me shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Well, how are we going to do them? And's a conjunction, it couples it together. And whatsoever. You might need a whatsoever in your life this morning. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Not if it's my will, or if you've been a good guy, or if you've been praying a lot. Or maybe only on Sunday mornings, and only when the elders are around you. No! Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. It glorifies God. It glorifies God. Whatever you need, you ask. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it for you, son. I will do it for you, daughter. That word ask in the Greek concordance is demands. Whatsoever you demand in my name, I'll do it for you. They didn't see that crippled man there at the beautiful gate and say, hey, you know, let's stand up and pray. They said, no, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. He got up and walked. So we use that name. We come against the devil. In the name of Jesus, he can't touch our family. He can't do what he thinks he's trying to do. There's power in that name, but we got to believe it. We got to be a voice. We're not just hearing something or hearing a message and trying to repeat it, but we know deep inside of our heart there is power in the name of Jesus. Don't ever say you've never been given anything. God could have given you gold. Doesn't mean anything. I pay streets of gold. Come on. Diamonds. Rubies. But I'll give you something, son. I only had one of. I'll give you my son. And whatever you need, ask in my name, I'll do it for you. Ask in my son's name. Philippians, it talks about he died a criminal's death for you and I on the cross. Wherefore God also highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name. The name that's above cancer. The name that's above any disease. The name that's maybe you're believing God to do something in your life. Maybe you're a young person. You want to do this. And they say, oh, that's great, but you're just not tall enough. Or you're just not quick enough. Hey, there's a name above that, the name of Jesus. Gave him a name that's above every name. At the name of Jesus, everything has to bow, surrender at that name. But we got to know it. Why was that name? Jesus died on the cross for us. And then the name was given to him for us, the church. For us to use, we got to know the power in that name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We give you the glory and all the honor. Jessica, could you come up and play? Hallelujah. Whatever you need, whatever you're believing God for, today's your day. It's crossover time. It's crossover time, a miracle in your life. Maybe to be more on fire for God. To have that passion for God. Maybe you're not where you're supposed to be right now this morning. You've been given a name that's above every name. The name of Jesus. There's power in that name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. When I was in junior high, I didn't have that time with the Lord. I was just in sports, and I never spent time with Him at all. Maybe if I prayed over my food, I'd just say a generic prayer. Didn't think about it. And I remember I had this dream, and I saw Jesus. And He said, "Son, why have you forsaken me? Why haven't you been spending time with me?" And I said, I'm sorry. And He said, "It's okay. He's our Father. Come on. He's our Father." And I remember I saw people out in the streets, and they were warming themselves up by the fire. They were cold, and I saw all this, and I heard, "Brandon, people are hurting. Help them, heal them, touch them. People are hurting." And He said, "It's not my fault they're in that situation. I've done everything I've had to do for them." And I kept hearing that. So after this happened, you know, I was just kind of, I told my family, but I always thought about that. It really made an impression on me. I always thought about, He's already did everything He had to do for them. It's not my fault they're in that situation. So, you know, people would give me their opinions, like my family. I think it's this kind of work and all that. And I said, "No, that's not it." I knew that wasn't it. I didn't really tell them that. I just said, "Okay." But one day, there in California by myself, seeking God, on my knees before His face, be still and know that I'm God. I was on my face. He said, "Son, you want me to tell you what that is?" I said, "Yes." And He said, "Son, you're preaching my name, the name of Jesus." I said, "Yes." He said, "I've done it all for them. It's all my name. Whatever they need." You saw it, John chapter 14. "Whatever you need, ask and I'll do it for you." But we got to believe Him. We can't be trying Him anymore. "I'm going to try it for 2 weeks, God. I'm going to serve you fully for 2 weeks. And if you don't take care of me, I'm never going to go to church again." Forget all that. It's a daily, every day. Keep on pressing through. Keep on walking through. Your natural mind might not understand it, but you trust in God. You have faith in His name. Hallelujah. Everybody's eyes closed right now. Put your eyes on Him. Lord, we give You the praise, we give You the glory. Is there anyone here, you're not right with God where you need to be? You want to make a fresh rededication to God? I want you to raise your hand. Is there anybody here? Is there anybody here? Okay, hallelujah. Is there anybody here? Is there anyone here, you want a fresh spark of the fire of God to touch you and intensity to keep on going? I want you to raise your hand. Is there anyone here? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you believe in God for a miracle in your life, I want to hook my faith up with you. Is there anyone here who believes in God for a miracle in your life? Raise your hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's put our eyes on Him. Hallelujah. I want Jessica to sing a song, whatever's in her heart. And I want you to put your eyes on Jesus. The power in that name. Come on, I preach the name. There's power in that name. A crippled man started walking, weeping, praising God. Put your eyes on Him. And whenever you're ready, I want you to come to the front. Whenever you're ready, come to the front.